Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
Welcome back, listeners, to the podcast of Three Men for Thee in the Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. If you've not seen our last podcast, please go back and take a look at it, especially with what's been going on in the news about the FBI and former President Trump. Our interview was with Jonathan Gussie DeKeys, and he was talking about Venezuela and socialism and some of the signs we need to be looking for that's happening in our governments. So go back and look at those that last podcast. So as I was saying, we're glad to have Stephen Jumper with us today. And Stephen is the vice president of the International Commission. And it's an amazing organization that reaches out to people all over the world and in the United States. So Stephen, usually when we start these dialogues, we ask you to tell us a little bit about your faith before you tell us about what you're doing now and how you were led to the Lord and the pathway that is taking you to where you are right now.
Great. And Herb, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate the opportunity to share a good bit of information with your listeners. First of all, I grew up, my family's originally from South Carolina, but I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. I was fortunate that my parents raised me in the church, like maybe a lot of your listeners. At I found the Lord on one Sunday night when a gentleman by the name of John Bramlett came to church and from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and preached the gospel. And at 12 years old, received Christ in my heart. That still, as a young boy, was not, it was impactful. I remembered it, but didn't really feel like that I committed to my faith till I was in my 30s and 40s. A big impact for me was going to Russia on my first mission trip with Calvary Baptist Church back in 2011. But then with International Commission in 2013, I went to the Philippines and it totally changed my life.
Well, when you, that's interesting. I didn't know you went to Russia. What did you do when you went to Russia?
Went to Chebuxari, Russia. It's probably a town about 500,000 in population, maybe 750,000 in population, but they had a chamber of commerce. They had a small business association. And guys, when their small businesses signed up for business courses, that first year we were teaching marketing. The second year we taught human resources. But we would have them at the Chamber of Commerce office in the morning doing classroom work. And then in the afternoon, we would go on site to their business and try to build a relationship with them. It was just so interesting to learn about their business in Russia and amazing to compare the opportunities in Russia with what we have in the United States. But I did not know how to present the gospel. I didn't have training on how to present the gospel. I beat around the bush with these guys all the time on what the real message of Christ was, what the good news was. And so it wasn't again until 2013 when International Commission trained me to present the gospel in many different ways. The 20-second version, I'll call it, versus the 5-minute, you know, conversation about Jesus Christ. So that was it was a great time to go to Russia. I'm fortunate to have gone to Russia given the political circumstances there now. So
well, I maybe you told me later, but or earlier, but I didn't know we had that in common with each other. Because I've been to Ukraine 4 or 5 times, teaching marketing classes with probably the same group, Dennis Lennon and that organization, teaching the marketing and leadership classes. And actually, we were supposed to be there this March, but we had to cancel our trip because of the war that's going on. So we're now trying to figure out what's the next steps for us to reach out to our friends and loved ones there as well. So you went to Russia. That was your first mission outing. And you said your second one was where?
To Iloilo in the Philippines. It was a small, very small town in the Philippines and in a very rural area. And when I say rural area, we're talking about jungles and dirt roads and huts and hammocks and all kind of stuff.
Well, that had to be amazing. What stood out to you? Because I know geographically, that's so much different than Russia and where we are in the United States.
What stood out was that the people were engaging. Obviously, we and what International Commission does is partner with local churches. So we had a local church taking us out in the community. We had the pastor working with us. We had congregational members working with us. And obviously, they're Filipino, and their friends and people in the streets recognize that they're from that area. But when you look at a guy like me over in the Philippines, you can tell I'm not from around here. So they are interested to speak to you. They're interested to hear you talk English, and it gives you the opportunity to present the gospel. And many times we would run into people, do you know who Jesus is? And they had never heard of Jesus, and they had no idea what a Bible was.
Well, my newest book's getting ready to come out, Never Stop Pursuing God's Vision and Mission for You. So tell our listeners, when you went to the Philippines, what was it that got you connected? How did you know that that's what you wanted to do? And what led you to go to the Philippines? That's a huge step.
Well, somebody asked me, for one thing, and then I guess I took a step of faith, but it was the very first day when we went out and encountered people and presented the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people would receive it. They would receive it. They learned about the forgiveness of sins. They had asked questions about, is there a heaven or is there a hell? And where am I going when I'm dying? And you could tell that the Holy Spirit had been working on them and that those questions were being tossed around in their minds. I knew that evangelism and was my gift when I saw these folks receive Christ. There are many times where I literally could see the weight of the world lifted off their shoulders when they received Christ, and they received that forgiveness. They received the Holy Spirit. They became born again. I watched them become born again. It was amazing.
Mm. Now, when you went, were they still kind of under a socialistic rule? Or what was the government like? Yeah.
Yeah, probably so, because the thing that stood out the most to me was we were really in paradise. The Philippines, I don't know, there's 11,000 islands maybe in the Philippines. I don't, there's thousands of islands, maybe 7,000, I can't recall. But it is a very beautiful place, but they have no sanitation systems in place. They have no just trash pickup, for one thing, and they were taking their bags of plastic trash and throwing them in these beautiful streams, and just it was pretty bad. They had areas that were pretty bad, like a dump pile.
Oh, yeah, I can relate to that, because my wife and I, we used to host children that would come over from Belarus because they were exposed to radiation from Chernobyl. And we had an opportunity to go to Belarus one time and stay with a young girl that we hosted. And we went to the village and dirt roads. There was one car in the village. They had no indoor running water. They had to go to the well to get their water. There were no indoor facilities, so we had to go outside to use the facility. So I'm sure you were in the same kind of environment as you were mentioning, like that. Right. But they opened their homes and their hearts to us, And that's what the real blessing was. So after you weren't working with the commission when you did that. So what was your full-time job while you went to the Philippines?
I was and still am a financial advisor. I help people do retirement planning, and that's a career that I'm trying to transition out of as I go full-time with International Commission as the area coordinator for North America, focusing on projects in the United States, Canada, Mexico, and then there's some other parts of the continent that we'll look at.
Well, how did you get connected up with the International Commission? I mean, somebody had to come to you and say, Mr. Jumper, we'd like you to participate with the International Commission. It's not like a job you applied for, is it?
No, it's not. So you probably know Stu Epperson Jr., who introduces you to everybody and anybody that he knows.
Yes.
He introduced me to Jeff Chetwood, who was the area coordinator for Southeast Asia. And Jeff invited me to go to the Philippines on that mission trip. He asked me.
So when we get off the air, you can tell me some secrets about Jeff that that I can confront him with a little bit later, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in this new role, tell me what your goals and your visions are.
Sure. So International Commission started back in 1973. It started out of one little church in Seminole, Texas that partnered up with a church in Mexico. And they did a little project where they saw 1,500 people come to salvation in 1 week. And for 50 years, International Commission has been going exclusively overseas. And subsequently from the Philippines trip, I went to three more projects in Southeast Asia in different countries, very similar in Malaysia and Cambodia and Thailand. Very similar environment from the standpoint of people not really knowing who Jesus is, not having access to Bibles, not knowing what an organized church was all about, an evangelical church. And so there was a little thing that came along here back in February of 2020 called COVID. And the organization having all their projects shut down and couldn't actually go overseas for a while, and many projects got delayed, the leadership team made a decision to change strategy and to say, well, I think the Lord might want us to go to North America. Maybe the United States needs Jesus. So will our model work in the States?
So that's when you started going out domestically through the International Commission during the COVID period.
Well, they started with some small projects. This is last year before I came on board. They started with some small projects in Destin, Florida and Jerome, Idaho. But the real model project came along out of Butler, Missouri, back in September of last year, which I was a participant on. And we use a process called Operation Andrew, which is an old Billy Graham Association methodology, where churches are approached 6 to 9 months prior to International Commission volunteers coming in, and they're praying for non-believers. They're trying to identify non-believers in their community, actually writing their names on a card and praying over them, praying over the project, praying for the participants. And really, prayer is a vital part of the first part of the project. And then so that occurred, and we had about 6 or 8 churches, I believe, in and around the Butler, Missouri area that were participants. And we had about 20 volunteers from around the country that came into the area. And then the volunteers are paired up with the local church, 2 or 3 volunteers with the church, with the pastor, with volunteers out of that church that's going to take them into the community. Hopefully we're seeing the folks that they've identified. There's power in someone coming from outside and being able to share Christ and tell the gospel in a different way than they may have heard of it, from friends and family. It may strike them differently. So there's some kind of power at work there. The Holy Spirit's at work there. And in Butler, Missouri, we made 950 gospel presentations within 4 days. and 110 people made first-time professions to receive Jesus Christ. So that really told us that this could work in the United States. So next month we have two projects, one in Norman, Oklahoma, and one in Farmington, New Mexico, on Navajo Indian land. So that's going to be really interesting. One in a populous area, Oklahoma City, Norman, Oklahoma, and then one in a very rural area and very desert area, if you've ever been out west to the Arizona, New Mexico area. So that should be real interesting. But just looking forward to those two projects and seeing what God will do, praying about those really hard, and looking forward to learning new things about how to creatively take the gospel throughout the United States and Canada. Canada is an area that that needs the Lord. I was in Calgary, Canada, actually a few years ago with Calvary Baptist Church again, and I think Calgary, Canada is like 2% Christian, and that's a very populated, a couple million people that live there, I believe.
Wow, only 2% Christian. Yep. That's amazing. So If our viewers are listening to this and they are led to volunteer, how do they find out who to contact and what to do?
Sure. Of course, our projects are all listed on our website, International Commission, all run together, .org. And you can go see the list of projects there and learn about those. There's a button that says apply. You just simply click on the apply button, fill in some basic information, name, address, phone number, contact information, that kind of thing. And then a project coordinator will be in touch with you about more details and more steps of there are more steps involved in getting ready for the project and that kind of thing.
Well, how do you reach out to the churches that you make contact with? You just pick the phone up and call? How does that work?
Yeah, so that's a big challenge for me in North America, is how am I going to come up with places to go, right? These came up because somebody knew somebody and there was a referral made or a conversation got started. I just had an opportunity last week. I got a referral from a gentleman who works part-time at International Commission, which, by the way, our office is located in Lewisville, Texas, outside of Dallas, Texas. And he was doing some work in the office and had been talking to a pastor in El Paso, Texas, for a couple of years about International Commission, and he's actually the director of missions for the El Paso Baptist Association. And so I picked up, you know, made the referral, and I made the phone call, and yes, the gentleman was ready to talk about it, and so I'll be headed down there in January for a presentation to 30 or 35 churches in his association. And then hopefully at least 10 pastors will raise their hands and say, yes, this is exciting. We want to participate. And then we will start mobilizing volunteers, coming up with a date for that project for next year, and mobilizing volunteers to come in and pair up with those churches. But it's all going to be through referrals, heard, and people that hear about International Commission, churches that want to expand their mission organization or even create a missions organization within their church, because we already have the infrastructure throughout the world, probably more than 100 people globally either work for or are volunteering for International Commission throughout the world.
Are there other social media connections and outlets connected with the International Commission so other people can connect with you?
I'm not sure what you mean there.
Facebook, Twitter, those kinds of social contacts.
Yeah, we have, I believe we're on LinkedIn. I believe we're on Facebook. And I think those are the two platforms we're on social media.
Okay, so when somebody goes to the website, do you post where your next domestic mission trip is?
Yeah, it's listed on there. We're doing the planning right now. All the trips for 2022 are listed there. And then we're planning for 2023. And so you're already getting some inside scoop that we have our eye on 14 international projects for next year. And I'm already starting to work on possibly up to six domestic projects for next year. I'm not sure we'll get to six because we're just starting. And you know, like I say, with those conversations, some of those folks will be ready. Some of those folks will not be ready to receive volunteers to come to their area. But that's my job. That will be my new job, is sorting that out, figuring out what the priorities are and where we can impact the U.S. and Canada and all of North America for Christ.
So how does the logistics work? Do the team members that are participating, do they fly or drive to the location where you're going to land and start your outreach?
Sure. And that's a great question because, you know, a lot of folks, you know, you recognize my first trip to the Philippines, or since you've been to the Ukraine, you know, there's some logistics and travel to get there. It's not just one. It's not a direct flight usually, particularly Southeast Asia or Russia, actually, or Ukraine. You could be up to three or four flights getting there. So the travel, the time and the travel, the physical requirements can be tough overseas. So domestically, the flight is much easier. Oftentimes, it's one or two flights to get there. And then if you live close enough to the project, you can drive. It's totally up to you as far as how you get there. But we're excited that North America could be a strong alternative for people who say, I want to go on a mission trip, but I don't want to go around the world to do it. A little bit closer to home.
So when y'all go out door to door, what kind of reactions and responses do you get?
That's a good question. Overseas, it's just incredibly engaging. The folks, they know you're from the United States, so they kind of really want to talk to you. But here, you know, anywhere from get off my land to I'm going to call the sheriff, or no thanks, I've heard Jesus, I don't need that. Or one of the more interesting responses we had was a gentleman did speak to us, and he says I've been thinking about that and it's been on my mind, but I need to clean my life up first before I receive Christ in my life. I got to get my act together. And we really talked to him and tried to tell him, you know, hey, that's not what this is about. It's coming just as I am. And Jesus wants you to come right now. And he wants you to come with all that mess because he wants you to give him all that mess. And he died for all that mess of stuff you're talking about.
So would you consider that the biggest surprise, or do you have another aha moment that you want to share with our viewers?
Overall, what we're going to face in particularly the United States is complacency. Is they think they know, but they don't. They've heard about Jesus Christ. They've heard about God. They may have heard Old Testament, New Testament type stuff, but I think you would agree that Jesus might be one of the most misunderstood men in history.
So when you go to these doors, do they think the Mormons are coming?
You know, I got that feeling myself, actually, when we did knock on doors. Part of the project was knocking on doors. Part of the project was preset appointments, and the congregation members knew the people, and they were neighbors and things like that. And then we would go to community activities and engage people that way.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So what are some of the community activities that you would go to?
Well, in Missouri, I believe there was some type of ice cream social one evening in a public park.
Okay.
Out in New Mexico in Farmington on Saturday, we're going to the flea market, you know, where there'll be a lot of activity. There's a local community center where we're going. There's an apartment complex we've been told about where a lot of children hang out. So we're hoping to engage young people, which will also bring in the parents as well. You know, hey, what are you guys doing? Because we will look different on Native American soil. So that will be good. And that'll be a differentiator. But yeah, when you're walking up to somebody, particularly somebody that's outside in their yard, and you're walking down the street, and I typically carry a Bible with me when I go, they can't help but think you're, you know, Mormons or Jehovah's Witness or what have you. Oftentimes, sir, I have walked on their front yard and said, before they even opened their mouth, I said, hey, no worries here. We're just a bunch of crazy Christians trying to tell you about Jesus Christ. And just go straight to the point.
Oh, I got you. Well, what message would you like to share with our viewers today to inspire and encourage them to connect with you all?
Yeah, so there's probably some folks that might listen to this that think, wow, that's great, but you know, evangelism is not my talent, God-given talent. But I need to remind everybody that, you know, this is International Commission is doing the Great Commission. We're going and helping make disciples, and that's what Jesus Christ commanded us to do. It's a question of obedience. And from the standpoint of being afraid to present the gospel, there is some great material that International Commission has. We also offer evangelism training courses that are about 6 weeks in length, and we'll come into a church and train a Sunday school class or a Bible study class. And really, there are some very simple ways that you can learn to present the gospel and tools that we have that provide visual effects. And I tell you, I'll encourage the listeners that once you start doing it and once you see people coming to Christ, once you understand that you participated in changing someone's eternal destiny, that this person was on their way to hell and now they're going to heaven because you presented Christ, You know, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few, right, Herb? So, you know, pray the Lord sends out workers into his harvest field, the scripture says. And so that's what the encouragement I would say is, come on, go with us, man. Just go and your life will be changed like my life was changed.
Is there an opportunity, or have you had an opportunity to do any kind of training or have any kind of event at your church?
Have not yet, no. Well, as you know, Calvary, it's a pretty large church, and it has some great resources there, but I think our sweet spot is in churches that might not have such resources. And that's another way to open the door to a project also, to say, hey, well, you come meet us. Let us come meet you at your church and let us talk to a few members and go through this evangelism training. And it might open up a door for a project or two.
Yeah. Well, I know we both have some friends that recently returned from Mongolia, and yeah, it's amazing to hear how many places they visited and how many people that they've led to salvation. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
I know I'm going to misquote the numbers, but one of the emails I got said they went to like 250 houses and had 170 witnesses to Christ.
Absolutely.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
And when a couple of them got back, they had to take a little pause because they tested positive for something. So
you know
what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So another encouraging thing I could say about getting involved is we need ministry partners. We need prayer for one thing. Prayer is where the battle is done for everything. And so pray for International Commission's ministry overall. Pray for me and the ministry in North America. But then also we need ministry partners to support us financially. I'm responsible for raising my own funding. And so most of the folks that work at International Commission are like missionaries in that fact, whether it's a management position or whether you're a participant. Our participants even do fundraising for their projects. So you can support me as a ministry partner, and churches can support me as a ministry partner. That's one area that I really want to focus on is finding churches that may want to expand their mission organization. They can support me and immediately get access to all kinds of infrastructure throughout the world. But then also it can be a promotion for their people to get out and share the gospel, to become a volunteer. And for me to be at the church and, you know, give reports and make an announcement, hey, we're headed to Farmington, New Mexico next month. Come on and go with us on a project. Or in 6 months, we're going to El Paso, Texas. Come on and go with us.
Well, how does someone become a ministry partner?
Well, through the website, we have a give page there. Or you can contact me directly and we can just sit down and talk. We have a give page on our website that has several different categories you can give. And then at some point, following the directions there, you can drop down and my name will pop up and you can become a ministry partner with me, supporting me directly. So a lot of different ways to give there.
Well, if we were to share some information on this podcast visually, how would we contact you? Would it be an email address we would send the information to? Is there an email address I could post on this podcast?
Absolutely. You want me to give the email address, Herb?
Sure.
Well, it's kind of long. Stephen, you know, just like the Bible name Stephen.
Yeah.
Dot Jumper. J-U-M-P-E-R, just like it sounds. And this is going to be at ic-world.org. ic-world.org.
Okay. Well, I'll post a little image of that on the video so that the listeners can see that email link to contact you as well. And also the email, website link to the International Commission so that they can log on and maybe sign up to be a partner.
Yes, that'd be wonderful.
Well, as we close out, any last thoughts or words you'd like to share and you know, leave for our listeners?
I'd say that if you're at a place in your faith walk where you are wanting to focus more on the Lord and get closer, have a closer relationship with God, missions and evangelism is a way to do that. You know, the Bible tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our minds, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm toward the end of my working career, transitioning into a new season of life, into my 60s. And I decided the way that I was going to obey that command was to accept this position with International Commission and organize as many mission projects as I could and send out as many people as I could to share the gospel in the United States. And maybe we can affect the culture somehow. After what happened yesterday, we sure can. We sure need some of that.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, Stephen, Mr. Jumper, just want to thank you for sharing your time with us today, your words, your vision, your mission on the International Commission. And I know it'll be a blessing for our listeners to hear this podcast and also see the links to log on to your website to see how they can become more active. So again, thank you. And to our listeners, coming up on our next podcast, we'll be interviewing Dr. Litton, former president of the Southern Baptist Association. So that'll be on our next podcast. So keep an eye out for that. And we'll post this as we usually do on Facebook, and then it will also be available on our podcast website. So again, Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Herb. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord."
We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.